Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And from Hollywood, here comes the star-studded show train. Tonight, your railroads, through the Association of American Railroads, present The Student Prince. In our star-studded cast, you will hear the host of our series, Gordon McRae, two famous guest stars, Dorothy Kirsten and Kenny Baker, and a great cast of Hollywood feature players, including Hans Conried, Betty Lou Gerson, Bobby Driscoll, and Peter Rankin. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the entire production is set to the music of Carmen Dragon's orchestra and brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and the things you use in your daily life. And now, here is Gordon McRae.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gordon McRae helping to bring you another in our series of musical comedy successes. Tonight, the Railroad Hour presents a story of the days when Germany was young, a show that opened on Broadway in 1924 and has been performed every year since. At one time, there were 9 different companies playing all over the country, and of course, I'm speaking of The Student Prince, with book by Dorothy Donnelly and music by Sigmund Romberg. As our guests tonight, we're very happy to present the glamorous Metropolitan and San Francisco opera star, Dorothy Kirsten, in the role of Kathy. And in the part of Karl Franz, the student prince, we are very glad indeed to have Kenny Baker with us this evening. And I'm certain you'll have a real thrill in store for you when you hear them sing. This evening, for which I age a few years, gracefully I hope, is the part of Dr. Engel, young Carl's constant companion and teacher. Well, our story begins nearly 100 years ago in Carlsberg. As twilight steals over the city, I, in the character of Dr. Engel, am pushing a little boy in a garden swing.
Higher, Dr.
Engel, higher! Oh, my goodness, that's enough, son. It's time for bed.
But Dr. Engel, you haven't told me a story yet.
All right, I'll tell you a story and then off you go. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Good. Now you sit down here beside me, and I'll tell you the most romantic story you've ever heard. Once upon a time, not so long ago, there lived right here in the kingdom of Carlsberg a young prince. He had all the riches that the son of a king could ask for. But alas, he wasn't happy. He had no freedom, and he had no friends except for me. You see, I was his teacher for 8 years. Then came the day he passed his entrance examinations for the University of Heidelberg. I went to his rooms to congratulate him, and for the first time in his life, he was happy.
Dr. Engel, have you heard the news? You're going with me to Heidelberg.
No, I'm not going, Karl Franz.
But Dr. Engel, we planned this trip ever since I was a boy.
But they don't want me to go to Heidelberg as your companion. They want me to be your jailer, to surround you with every formality you've known at court.
Oh, but Heidelberg wouldn't be that way if you went with me.
I'm sorry, Karl Franz. Somebody else can bring you back at the end of the year so the king can announce your betrothal to your cousin, Princess Margaret.
Oh, please, let's not worry about that. I've never even seen her. Look, if you really want me to break these chains, you can't desert me now. Why, that would just give them an excuse for not letting me go, don't you see?
Well, you're right. That's just what they do. I've got to go with you.
Oh, wonderful, Doctor. Then we'll go, just the three of us. You and I and Lutz, my valet. Oh, Lutz! Lutz!
Coming, Your Highness.
Lutz, I want you to get everything ready. We're leaving for Heidelberg University.
You mean I am going back to school again? Oh, my, what have I done to deserve this?
Oh, come now, Lutz. The way you roam around here with your nose up in the air, you probably graduated cum laude.
Believe me, Doctor, I couldn't graduate cum doomsday. know, sometimes I wonder why I even bother keeping all my old report cards. They all say the same thing. Johann Heinrich Peter Lutz, M.D.
Medicine eye doctor?
No, mentally deficient. No wonder I shudder at the thought of going near school again. I've never felt so ill at ease in my life as I did trapped inside those four walls.
Well, fortunately, Lutz, Heidelberg is not that kind of school. Down where the Neckar flows swiftly along, nestles a town that is famous in song. Laughing lads roam through its streets so quaint. No one's a sinner, much less a saint. Twilight comes stealing and moonlight shines down, painting with silver old Heidelberg town. Hark how the echoes are ringing with their song. Laughing they circle the glasses all night long. Golden days in the sunshine of our happy youth.
Golden days full of innocence and full of truth.
In our hearts we remember them all else above. Golden days, days of youth and love.
How we laughed with a gaiety that had no sting.
Looking back through memory's haze, we will know life has nothing sweeter than its spring time. Golden days when we're young. Golden days.
Well, on to the story, Dr. Engel. Did you and the prince go to Heidelberg?
Yes, son. Karl Franz Lutz and I traveled together. It was May Day, the first day of the new term, when we arrived. Karl Franz and I went immediately to enroll, while Lutz went on ahead with our luggage to the Inn of the Three Golden Apples. The streets echoed with the singing of marching students, making their way to the inn where Kathy, the barmaid, had been chosen queen of the Saxon court.
For there's no good fellow when he's feeling mellow to the beer, so yellow would say nay. All instead, we're swinging while we join in, singing with our voices, ringing in a merry line. There is joy abounding in our songs, we're sounding while our signs are pounding all the time.
Who is the most adorable waitress that ever carried a tray?
Kathy!
Who has a smile for everyone?
Kathy!
And most important of all, who draws the best stein of beer in Heidelberg?
Kathy! Hey!
Thank you, thank you. Come, boy, the old gay boy, for education should be scientific play, boy. Waste your time with books, boys, or every prudent student study woman's looks. Lord, professor's trained, boys, though you will run to social, don't hesitate. Though you get D minus, it isn't on account of shyness. You cut your lecture for the goodness, boys, in drinking you will honor graduate.
Cato, Plato, Cicero, they all make me sickero. All good students love the ladies. Homer, Zexy, Xenophon, twice as bad as Xenophon. All good teachers go to Hades. Chemistry, advanced biology, do not merit an apology. Higher master's a flat Latin chorus from your nose. Junior Caesar, he's a teaser. History's a mystery. So come for the dog gay boy, for everything you do.
Betty, our queen, we drink to your health.
All right, boys, that's enough. Now off with you. I've got to cut some flowers for the tables out there in the garden.
To the end, we're marching for our sons are marching under fruit trees.
Tell me, is this the Inn of the Three Golden Apples?
Yes, this is the Inn of the Three Golden Apples.
It looks positively wormy.
Most people recognize it immediately. Didn't those three golden balls over the door remind you of anything?
Yes, it reminded me I left my watch in the Royal Hawk Shop.
The Royal... Oh, of course. I should have known. With all that baggage, you must be Prince Karl Franz. We've been expecting you, Your Highness. I'm the innkeeper's niece, Kathy.
My dear little Wiener Schnitzel... I am the Honorable Johann Heinrich Peter Lutz, and I've never seen such a den of iniquity. You may cancel the prince's reservations immediately. We are not staying.
Not so fast. On the contrary, Lutz, I think we will.
But, Your Highness...
So, this is it, eh, Dr. Engel?
Yes, Karl Franz.
Welcome to Heidelberg, Your Majesty.
Thank you. Hey, everything is just as pretty and picturesque as you described it, Dr. Engel. You may unpack the baggage, Lutz. We're staying.
May I bring something to your room, Mr. Lutz?
Yes, Cathy. My smelling salts.
Oh, please. Don't go. Won't you sit down? So your name is Cathy, huh? That's a pretty name. Cathy.
Thank you, Your Highness. And thank you for staying here. And I think you have a pretty name, too, Your Highness.
Well, then, why don't you use it?
You mean call you...
Of course. Are you married, Cathy?
Oh, no, Your Highness.
Karl Franz.
Karl Franz.
Yeah, that's better. Engaged?
Oh, yes, I mean... Oh. Well, not exactly, but I will be someday.
Does he live here in Heidelberg, Kathy?
Oh, no. In Vienna. He's my cousin. He's got a fine business. He's a livery stable keeper.
Well, congratulations. Do you love him?
I guess so. I don't really know. He's much older than I am. He's 35.
Oh, Kathy, you can't love an old man like that.
Love's only for rich people. I don't know anything about it.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret, Kathy. I'm rich and I don't know anything about it either.
Oh, the boys are coming back. I've got to get them some beer. Will you excuse me?
Of course.
Trying to get a few words in with Kathy behind my back. Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought you were Dietlef.
No, I'm not.
But you are students.
Well, thank you. You flatter me, but I'm just one of the alumni.
Well, how about you?
Oh, yes. I'll be going to school here.
Well, welcome to Heidelberg. I'm Hugo Lucas.
Oh.
Have you made your choice yet?
Choice?
Of a corps. A fraternity.
You see, Carl, every student wears the cap and band of some corps.
How would you like to pledge the Saxon?
Well, I don't know if I can.
You've got to join a corps, Carl. You're in Heidelberg. Enjoy yourself.
What do you say? Will you shake on it?
Oh, you bet I will, and thanks for asking me.
Gentlemen, we're going to drink a toast to our new brother. What's your name, my friend?
Gentlemen, permit me to introduce His Highness, Karl Franz, our prince.
Prince? Oh, but Your Highness...
Oh, forget it, Lucas. While I'm here at Heidelberg, I'm just another student like yourselves.
Gentlemen, that toast, our brother, Karl Franz.
Drink, drink, drink to eyes that are bright as stars when they're shining on me. Drink, drink, drink to lips that are red and sweet as the fruit on the tree. Here's a hope that those bright eyes will shine lovingly, longingly soon into mine. May those lips that are red and sweet tonight be joy. Drink, drink, drink to arms that are white and warm as a rose in the sun. Drink, drink, drink to hearts that will love one only when I am the one. Here's a home.
love that though sometimes we'll twine, tenderly, trustingly, soon are mine.
May he give me a priceless boon, his love beneath the sweet heaven.
Ring, ring, let the false star say, young hearts never part.
Oh, Carl, that was wonderful. How did you happen to know the words?
Oh, Dr. Engel taught them to me.
Yes, I taught him all the student songs.
Do you know the student serenade?
Ah, do I know it? It's my favorite of all.
Then let's sing it. Saxons, the serenade.
Overhead the moon is beaming. Blossom on the bough. Nothing is heard but the song of a bird, filling all the air with dreaming. Could my heart but still its beating, only you can tell it how. Give me greeting, hear my eternal vow.
But, Carl, finish it. You can't stop at the beginning.
You're right, Kathy. And this is just the beginning for both of us.
Soft in the trees, sighs the echo of my longing.
My soul, my joy, my hope, my fear.
Your heart must tell you that I am near.
Lean from above while I pour out my love, for you know through my life you are love.
Just 100 years ago today, what was then the little prairie village of Chicago saw its first locomotive make its first run. With that run, all of 5 miles, there was born one of the great railroad centers, which means so much to America. Speaking at the railroad fair held this summer to celebrate the centennial of that event, Colonel J. Monroe Johnson, director of the Office of Defense Transportation, talked about what that century of railroading has meant to our country and to all of us. He told his listeners that it took a continent to exhibit truly the product of that epic century. The product, said Colonel Johnson, is the only one of its kind in the world, the United States of America. Without these railroads, he added, there would have been at least two nations, one east and one west. Today and tomorrow, the continent-wide, all-season, common carrier service of the railroads is and will be one of the great foundation stones of our nation's strength. That's another reason why every American has a stake in railroads that are physically strong and financially healthy. And now back to The Student Prince, starring Dorothy Kirsten, Kenny Baker, and Gordon McRae. We return to the garden, where a little boy sits listening as Dr. Engel continues his story of Heidelberg and the student prince.
Did the prince like Heidelberg, Dr. Engel?
Yes, son. For the first time in his life, he was happy. As the weeks passed, each day found him more and more in love with Kathy. Then about 6 months after his arrival in Heidelberg, Prince Karl Franz was returning to his quarters at the Inn of the Three Golden Apples in the early hours of the morning.
Open up, Lutz. Open the door.
Oh, my, this is terrible. Coming home at 3 o'clock in the morning. Prince Karl Franz, how could you do it?
What do you mean? You're coming home with me, aren't you?
You mean I was there with you? Dancing and carousing? Well, I wondered where I was all night.
It's amazing how Heidelberg's changed you, Lutz. You've lost all your old veneer.
Well, that Heidelberg beer would take the veneer off anything. No, I still can't believe I was with you this evening.
Lutz, your mind is wandering.
Does it good to get out once in a while.
Don't you remember my asking Kathy to run away with me and get married?
Marry Kathy? Oh, dear me, that would never do. You are engaged to the Princess Margaret, and being engaged to her is just as good as being married to her.
It's better. Kathy and I are leaving for Paris as soon as the sun rises.
Well, I'm not really surprised to hear this, because when a man loves a woman, he will climb the highest mountain for her. He will swim the deepest river. He will walk 1,000 miles.
Well, go on. Why do you stop?
Oh, I'm tired.
Well, before you collapse, get that key out of your pocket and open this door. I've got to get some sleep before Kathy and I leave for Paris.
But Karl Franz was not to sleep for long. As dawn crept over the city, a coach drawn by 4 horses drew up before the entrance of the inn, and from it stepped the Princess Margaret. As Karl Franz's advisor, it was my duty to awaken the prince and perform the introduction. Your Highness, may I present the Princess Margaret, Alexis, Victoria, Eugenia, Elizabeth, Marie.
I am honored by this visit, Princess, but surprised I understood you were in a convent.
I'm returning to Carlsberg at the request of the king. I was ordered to stop on the way to deliver this letter to Dr. Engel.
Oh, how fortunate. And what a splendid opportunity to meet without formality.
Yes, it will relieve the tension of betrothal ceremonies at Carlsberg.
Betrothal ceremonies?
Yes. I would love to prolong this delightful visit, cousin, but the horses are waiting. You know how punctual the king is. Goodbye, cousin. I shall see you again soon.
Yes, soon. It will be an honor, Princess.
I trust it will also be a pleasure.
Dr. Engel, what is this? What's in that letter?
Carl, I'm ordered to ask you to return to Carlsberg.
To marry Princess Margaret?
Yes, but there's more to it than that. The king is ill. He needs you. You've got to return to Carlsberg at once. Karl Franz's dream of 12 months of freedom were abruptly shattered. But with his father, the king, ill and calling for him, he had no alternative, and he prepared to leave at once. The afternoon he was ready to leave, Kathy came to bid him goodbye.
Don't worry, Kathy, darling. My father's a strong man. He'll get well again. In 2 short weeks, I'll be back.
I know you will, Karl Franz.
Oh, I love you so much, Kathy. I can't bear the thought of leaving you, even for so short a time.
I love you too, Karl Franz, more than anything in the world. You know that. But your father's ill. He needs you.
Yes, but the minute I get back, we'll be off to Paris as we planned and get married.
I'll be waiting.
Karl, do you want me to return to Carlsberg with you?
No, Dr. Engel. You stay and keep these rooms for me. I want you here, too, waiting for me with... for Kathy.
Oh, Karl Franz,
It's so hard to say goodbye.
But it isn't goodbye, Kathy, darling. It's just auf Wiedersehen. And while I'm away, I'll dream of you every moment. Seeing you just as you are now, standing here before me. So pretty, so sweet, so lovely.
The magic of springtime is round us tonight. Enchantment is born on the breeze.
And clothed in the silver attendant light, the big man is soft in
the dream. As deep in the shadows your eyes look in mine, within them a soft flame gently glows. The breath of the night wind with perfume divine is filled with the scent of the rose. Oh, love, while I live, I will always enshrine
your love in the heart of a rose. Deep in my heart, I have a dream of you.
Passion of starlight, perfume of roses and dew.
You keep these for me?
Your student band and cap?
Yes. Keep them for me till I come back. And I will come back, Kathy. I promise.
They say, a promise keep right while you'll sleep. A promise break all night you'll wake.
I'll keep my promise, Kathy. Goodbye, Kathy, darling. Goodbye.
Carl Franz! Carl Franz! Oh, Doctor, he's gone. He's gone. He'll never come back.
Back to Heidelberg, didn't he, Dr. Engel?
No, son, he didn't. The king died shortly after Karl Franz returned to Carlsberg, and the young prince ascended the throne as king. 2 years passed, and during all that time, Karl Franz did not marry Princess Margaret. And finally, the council decided that the king no longer could avoid his responsibility. A date was set for the wedding, and a grand ball was given at the royal palace to publicly announce the betrothal. The court buzzed expectantly as Princess Margaret and Karl Franz danced together for the first time.
You dance beautifully, my dear cousin.
A queen must dance well with a king, especially one who dances as well as you.
Thank you. I'm afraid I have had little opportunity for practice lately.
I've heard at Heidelberg you were quite adept.
I regret that the affairs of state have kept me from you since my return.
Kings are not their own masters, cousin. There are certain obligations which...
Pardon, your majesty. An important message.
A message from where?
Heidelberg.
Heidelberg? Will you excuse me, Princess? Lutz, who is it?
Dr. Engel.
Dr. Engel. Take him to my rooms. I'll meet him there immediately. What were you saying, Princess?
I was about to say there are certain obligations which a king must discharge He's to be worthy of his people and his country. That is why I was overjoyed to learn the date set by the council for the wedding is so soon. The 1st of June.
No. No, later.
Your Majesty.
I'm sorry. No later than the 1st of June, beloved cousin. You must forgive me if I beg permission to leave you.
I know your thoughts are elsewhere tonight.
Cousin.
I do not wish to reproach you, only to say that I understand.
Dr. Engel.
Karl Franz. Oh, my goodness. In Heidelberg, you looked like a boy. And now you look like a king.
Oh, it's good to see you, Engel. Let me pour you a drink. Ah, before you say another word, you've got to join me in a toast to old Heidelberg.
You haven't forgotten, Karl.
Forget? How could I forget those days?
Golden days in the sunshine of our happy youth. Golden days full of innocence and full of truth.
Oh, Doctor, tell me about the Saxon Corps. Lucas, Stietlaff, and all the rest.
Oh, wait a minute. There's so much to tell, Karl.
A night doesn't go by that I don't hear their voices echoing back across the valleys and through the walls.
Stars when they're shining on me. Drink to lips that are red and sweet as the fruit.
But in the evenings when I dream, it's Kathy I see. It's as if she were here in this room with me.
I have a dream of you. A promise keep right when you'll sleep. Promise break, all night you'll wake.
Hours may slipper, but I remember
I can't stand it any longer, Doctor. I'm going back to Heidelberg.
Today there are as many miles of railroad track in the switching district of Chicago alone as there were in the whole United States 100 years ago. And today, throughout our country, there are 6,000 other railroad centers and junction points through which the rail, passenger, and freight traffic of the nation flows. There are more than 600 different railroads in the United States. In their service and operation, they compete with one another vigorously. But at the same time, all of them work together to provide you with a service that is nationwide, indeed continent-wide. Any shipper on any railroad can load a car for through movement to destination on any line. That's a familiar fact which most of us take for granted because it is so familiar. Yet to producers it means nationwide markets. And to you and me as consumers, it means the widest possible choice in the selection of the things we buy and use. Yes, the fact that railroads handle each other's cars is familiar. But just think what a lot of standardization and cooperation it calls for among a lot of railroads, especially at those centers and junction points where railroads meet. You can think of these junctions as the connecting links that tie together the network of rails. The network which, as Colonel Johnson of the Office of Defense Transportation so truly said, has helped to keep this nation united, and which today makes possible the nationwide commerce, which is one of the big reasons why Americans produce more and live better than any other people on Earth. The Railroad Hour show train will return in just a moment after a brief pause for station identification. And now we return to The Student Prince, starring Dorothy Kirsten, Kenny Baker, and Gordon McRae.
it's getting late, son. Why don't you run on to bed and let me finish the story tomorrow?
Oh, no, Dr. Engle. I want to hear what happened to the student prince.
Well, Karl Franz was determined to return to Heidelberg and the girl he loved. Lutz, his valet, and I left with him the following morning for the university. Karl Franz had planned to rejoin Kathy immediately. But when they arrived at Heidelberg, he was surprised to find the Saxon corps had turned out in a body to greet him. So Lutz went on ahead to the inn.
I beg your pardon. I am looking for a barmaid known as Kathy.
Kathy? But I'm Kathy Lutz. Don't you remember me?
Must I? Oh, yes, of course. You're Kathy, surely.
It's good to see you again, Lutz.
My good woman, and I shudder when I use the term, do you know why I am here?
You're on a vacation, and you want to spend all your spare time in Heidelberg.
On the contrary, I spend all my spare time knitting tiny garments.
Look, you're married?
Don't be ridiculous. I need a sweater.
Then you haven't come back for the winter sports, and you don't want to go slaloming on the slope.
Not since I've been schmecking on Sitzplatz. No, I'm here only because King Karl Franz is now about to revisit his old lodgings.
Karl Franz?
Yes, the king. He was detained by some old friends, but they will be gathering here in a moment. Pay attention. What are you looking at?
Is this still the Inn of the Three Golden Apples?
Yes, it is.
Good heavens, the princess.
You may go, Lutz.
Thank you. And you don't have to tell me where.
Perhaps you can tell me. Is there a waitress here named Kathy?
I am Kathy.
Let me look at you, Kathy. Yes, you're very pretty. You've been here for some time, haven't you?
Yes, madame. I live here with my uncle.
You were here when the King of Carlsberg was a student?
Yes.
You waited on him, didn't you? You knew him well. In fact, you were sweethearts.
How do you know these things?
Gossip has a way of traveling, and I'm the king's future wife.
Future wife?
Yes. Surprises you, doesn't it, that I should be curious about you? The princess, jealous?
If you're jealous, you love him. And if you love him, you'll make him happy. Now that he's forgotten me.
He can never forget you as long as you're here to welcome him back. You do want him to be happy, don't you?
Yes, yes. Of course I do.
Then leave here. Go away, marry. Then perhaps he'll
turn to you.
I love him, too. But that's not important. There's only one thing that is important. This is our country, and he is our king. He needs a queen beside him to share his duties. And all my life I've been preparing to assume those duties.
You don't have to worry any longer, princess. I'll go.
Believe me, you are really happier than I can ever be. You have his love. Well, I can only say I'm grateful to you. The students are coming. Karl Franz and Dr. Engle are with them. Here's my handkerchief. Wipe your eyes. I'll leave you with him to tell him. And please, please, he must never know I've been here. He'll never know.
Kathy! Kathy!
Oh, Kathy.
Welcome back, Your Majesty.
Just welcome back, Kathy? Is that all? Aren't you happy to see me?
I'm always happy to see the boys come back.
Kathy, you haven't forgotten me.
Forget you, Your Majesty? I could never forget a king. You're just in time to offer me congratulations. I'm getting married tomorrow.
Married?
Yes, to my cousin, Rudolph.
Oh. Oh, I hope you'll be very happy, Kathy.
I shall, Your Majesty. I promise you. And you? I understand you're marrying the princess.
The princess is a charming woman.
I'm sure she is. Come, Karl Franz. Smile. Life changes. You're a king. Your life belongs to your people.
Your Majesty, as spokesman for the corps, if I may take the liberty, the students have asked me to offer their felicitations on your approaching marriage.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Dr. Engle.
And they thought, perhaps, in memory of your student days here at Heidelberg, you might like to hear some of the student songs.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen.
Is there any in particular you'd care to hear?
Yes. The Serenade.
Overhead the moon is beaming. White as blossoms on the bough.
Nothing is heard but the song of a bird, filling all the air with dreams.
Oh, city bright,
And so the king married the princess and lived happily ever after.
But that story has an unhappy ending, Dr. Engel.
Oh, no, my son. On the contrary, it has a very happy ending.
But why didn't the prince marry Kathy?
Because he married the princess, your mother. And they found their happiness in you.
Romeo, so give me safety. I swear.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gordon MacRae giving a special vote of thanks to our two guest stars this evening, Dorothy Kirsten and Kenny Baker, and to the other members of tonight's cast for their fine performances in our production of The Student Prince, which was adapted for radio by Ed Helwick. Next week, our star-studded show train will arrive on the same tracks and at the same time. On board will be Eddie Bracken and Jan Clayton to join me in bringing you the famous Jerome Kern musical show, Roberta, with our chorus under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music arranged and conducted by Carmen Dragon.
All aboard?
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. So until next week, goodbye. And remember, during the coming week, as always, the American Railroads will provide for you the dependable, low-cost transportation which is so essential to the American way of living. The Student Prince has been presented by arrangement with Century Library, Incorporated of New York. Bobby Driscoll will soon be seen in the Walt Disney Technicolor picture, So Dear to My Heart. Gordon MacRae appeared on this program by arrangement with Warner Brothers. This is Marvin Miller speaking. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the Association of American Railroads. There goes our show train. But don't forget, it'll be back next week with Roberta. And here's Carmen Dragon and the orchestra to play you one of the hits from that show. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.